Please turn with me in God's Word to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Take a reading from verse 20 down to verse 26. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 down to 26. The Word of God says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labour. Yet not what I shall choose, I ought not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ, for by my coming to you again. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. When the Apostle Paul wrote Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die in gain is gain, he was laying a solid foundation for all that would follow next as to why to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul was under sentence of death, waiting to be executed for preaching the gospel. In his present prison cell, Paul's thoughts were going off like a firework display. There were explosions of rejoicing and thanksgiving to God for redemption through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, as he thought about eternal matters, realized that he was in a blessed situation. Whatever way he thought of living or dying, he was brought back to the Lord Jesus Christ. The longer God granted Paul to live on earth, he knew he would spend it living Christ. But if God had appointed his death sooner, then Paul was ready to go to be with Christ. And therefore, if we connect the two verses, verses 22 and 23, Paul said, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. And that phrase, strait betwixt two, means to be pressed in, means to be hemmed in, means to be surrounded or constrained. The idea is that which presses against you or that which presses upon you. It dominates your thoughts. You can't get away from it. You're surrounded by it. And so Paul is in a strait betwixt two. The matter of serving Christ on earth or to be with Christ in heaven, that surrounded Paul's thinking. That dominated his mind. That pressed upon him. As Paul continually thought about this matter, living on earth to be with Christ, or dying and going to heaven to be with Christ, he continually thought about it. Because on earth, Paul wanted to remain, to encourage God's people in the faith, to build them up and to instruct them in the things of God. But at the same time, above all, Paul desired to be with Christ in heaven. And so this matter is pressing upon him. It weighs heavily upon him to remain on earth to serve Christ or to be in heaven with Christ. But Paul's point is this. Either way, he does not lose out. If God has him to remain on earth for a little bit longer, he'll spend the rest of his days serving the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel, building up the body of God's people. But if it's God's will to take Paul home very, very soon. Yea, even if it was that day, Paul was ready, because to Paul, death was an advantage. It was the way God had chosen to bring him home to glory. And so Paul, he rests on the sovereignty of God. Until God calls me home, however long that may be, in the next number of days, in the next number of weeks, or even years, I'll continue serving him on earth. And that ought to be our model. Until God calls you home, whether you have one day left on this earth, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years, we do not know how long we have left. But what we ought to do is say, whatever time I have, I will spend it living for Christ. And that's where we left it last time, when Paul was comparing living with Christ on earth or being with Christ in heaven. We looked at Paul's deeds from verse 23. And his deeds were in the flesh, in his body, giving his body over to Christ, to live for Christ, to labor for Christ, in order to be like Christ. But now as we come to verse 23, Paul focuses from the earthly to the heavenly. And now he considers his desire to be with Christ in a greater detail. So having looked at Paul's deeds, notice secondly, Paul's desire. And there's three parts that we want to look at today. Notice first of all, under Paul's desire was strong. He said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ." The word desire, as you have before you, is a strong word in the original. It is to have a strong desire for something, a longing after something. It means to crave after. It's also interesting to note that this word desire literally reads and literally means to lust. And so we could read those words, having a lust to depart, having a craving to depart. Now, to our minds, that just doesn't seem right and something we may not use together. But once again, as we learned last time, Paul takes a word, a phrase, that is normally used in a negative sense. The word lust, or this word desire, again used in a negative sense, usually to mean lust after the flesh or the works after flesh. Now he takes it and he uses the exact same word, only now in a positive manner, to be used in a good way, to show how strong his desire was. He craved after the Lord. He craved, he desired to be with Christ. It was the thrill of Paul's heart. It motivated him into action, because all that thrilled Paul's soul was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul strongly desires, lusts after, craves after Christ, to be with Christ, because he knew whenever he would die, death would be his advantage. Heaven for Paul was all about Christ, being with Christ and seeing Christ by sight. This word desire is the same word that the Lord used when speaking to his disciples. He said in Luke chapter 22, verse 15, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Again, John chapter 4, verse 34, the Lord said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And the word meat, as used there by the Savior, "my meat is to do the will of him that sent me." The word meat there, referring really in the word literally meaning food. You eat food, it satisfies you. You're hungry, you eat food, you're satisfied. And so the Lord is saying, what fills me, what satisfies me, what is food to my soul, is to do the will of God. I live to do the will of God. I've been sent into this world to do the will of God. That's what thrills me. That's what satisfies me. It is to do the will of God, to come into this world and to perfectly obey the law of God by my sinless life, and then to pay the penalty of the law by my substitutional death. And by doing that, Jesus Christ finished the work that he came to do. Because sinners to enter into heaven need a perfect righteousness. And the Lord Jesus Christ has earned a perfect righteousness, a perfect covering, perfect garments for sinners he came to save. He lived a perfect, a sinless life. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And then because he lived a perfect life, he could then offer up that life without spot unto God as the only sacrifice for sin. And we're glad this day the Bible tells us in Hebrews, this man, having offered up one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And that tells us that Jesus Christ is the all-sufficient Savior. He's done all that was needed to be done to purchase your salvation. Child of God, do you know that? All that you need for eternity is found in Jesus Christ. Sinner today, unsaved one today, all you need for salvation, all you need for eternal life, it's not in the church. It's not in religion. It's not in the pastor or the minister or whoever you want to mention. It's found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul makes this point. He says, if I live, it's to serve my Savior, because Christ came into this world to serve sinners, and I want to be like my Savior. I want to do the will of God and to preach the gospel and to tell others about salvation. But if my Savior takes me home to be with him, I don't lose out, because death to me is an advantage. It's a gain. I go to be with my Savior forever and forever. So Paul's desire, I'm between two. This phrase also, again, it's good. It's good spiritual nutrients to our soul, because this phrase, straight betwixt two, is also used in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. And you will know this phrase well. It's translated by the word constraineth. And Paul says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And that's the exact same meaning in the original, the exact same word as this word, a straight betwixt two. Remember what we said that word means. It means to press upon that which surrounds me. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, it is the love of Christ that presses upon me. It's the love of Christ that motivates me. It surrounds me. My thoughts are taken up with him, to love him, to enjoy him, to serve him, to be with him. Paul was motivated by the love of Christ. It pressed upon him. He couldn't get away from it. That's why he kept writing in all his epistles of the one who loved me, as he said to the Galatians. He loved me and gave himself for me. That's why he could write to the church at Ephesus of God's great love through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he could say to the believers at Rome that God commendeth his love toward us and that Christ died for the ungodly. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it's the love of Christ that constrains me, motivates me, it presses me on. It presses upon me. I can't get away from it. And so Paul, as he serves the Lord, he is motivated by Christ, who Christ is and what Christ has done for him. And therefore, believer, if your heart is not warmed, stirred up, pressed upon by Christ's love in giving himself for you, nothing else will stir your heart. The motivation to assemble on the Lord's Day is not just an excuse to get out of the house or to get to another location to go somewhere else. The motivation to assemble on the Lord's Day is because the love of Christ presses upon our hearts, and we want to come to assemble as God has called us to assemble, under the sound of the Word of God, and to assemble with our family, the household of faith, brothers and sisters in the Lord, to hear His Word, what He has done for us, what He means for us, what He is doing for us. Therefore, what constrains us, presses upon us, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinner, if the forgiveness of your sin doesn't rest upon Christ alone, then you will never be forgiven. If you're trying to get to heaven by any other way, you will never get to heaven. Do all the good works you do, keep doing them, but it will never get you to heaven. Be the best neighbor, and keep being the best neighbor, but it will never get you to heaven, because it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's according to His grace and mercy He saves. And therefore, if you're trying to get to heaven any other way apart from Christ, you will never get to heaven. Entrance into heaven is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And so Paul, as he thinks of his desire is a strong desire, because it centers upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice also Paul's desire was splendid, because he said, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. When Paul was writing these words, where was Christ? Well, Christ was in heaven, in glory, seated at God's right hand. But where was Paul? Paul was on earth. He was in a Roman cell. And yet his desire was splendid. His desire centered upon a change of location. He desired to be with Christ. This word depart, again, it's another interesting word as you circle it. Again, it's packed again with more spiritual nutrients. It does our hearts good. It means to loosen, means to break up, undo, or return. And it carries two illustrations. This word, depart, carries two illustrations with it. One, it is to set sail on a ship, and then to take down a tent. It speaks of the ship going on a journey to another destination. You think of a ship, the anchor is pulled up, the ropes are undone, and then the ship is loosened from the harbor, setting sail from one place to another place, going from one destination, one place to another destination, leaving one harbor for another harbor. And so as you think about this word spiritually, Paul is thinking of leaving the shores of earth for the splendor of heaven. He wants to leave earth because he knows he'll go to heaven to be with Christ. Whenever the ship leaves, it leaves at a certain time, at an appointed time. I don't know if you've ever been on the boat or ever been on a ship, but you know it leaves at a certain time. And so Paul is taking these thoughts all together. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, the time of my departure is at hand. It was time soon for him to set sail. Paul knew his life was soon coming to an end. And while he did not know the exact day or moment, because that's determined by the Lord only, yet Paul could say, the time of my departure is at hand. It's coming very soon. But when it does come for my departure, when I do leave earth's shores, I go to the splendor and glory of heaven. I go to Emmanuel's land, where the Lamb is all the glory. And likewise, believer, the gospel ship of our life, having sailed around many of Earth's destinations, and I know there's some here who have travelled around some of the most beautiful places in the earth. I'm not just talking about around the city of London. I'm talking as well about further afield. You've been to many, many places. You've come and told me that of all the places that you have been. Yet, one day, we will leave this earth and depart for Emmanuel's land. And what a journey that will be. Christ, the captain of our salvation, he will steer us safely home. But there are some of you who are out of Christ, and you're not on board the gospel ship, the ship that will depart for heaven. Rather, you will perish in the waves of God's wrath, because right now in your sin, you're like the troubled sea, which cannot rest, tossed to and fro because of your sin. An unsaved one, you need to learn that you are sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. You're overwhelmed by guilt. Guilt and sin is a burden to you, and it's sinking you down. However, we're glad this day that the gospel net is cast out for you. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only one who can lift you out of sin's despair, sin's death, and sin's destruction. I present to you the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the hope of the gospel is given to you, will you embrace him? Will you lift your hand out? Will you reach out like that woman in Mark chapter 5 with the issue of blood who reached out for Christ? Will you reach out today, the lifeline, and be wonderfully and gloriously saved? The word depart, the illustration is of a ship going from one destination to the other. And Paul knew, when I leave earth, I'm going to heaven. Can I ask, where is your next destination eternally? Will you leave earth to go to heaven? Or will you be going to a lost eternity in hell? Notice this word depart is also illustrated by the tent. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, a wonderful portion of scripture. But first one, Paul says of that, 2 Corinthians 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And the word house in that passage is the word meaning a tent. And therefore, speaking of a tent, a home, an earthly abode. And our house, or our body, if you want to take it, this body, this house, this tent, is the dwelling place of the soul. Your body is temporal. It will decay. It will die. But your soul is eternal. Your soul can never die. Yes, the body will be buried or cremated or whatever you want to term. But the soul will live on. It will either live in heaven to praise the Lord or be in hell under the wrath of God. At death, the soul leaves the body. And if the soul before death is not saved by grace, the soul will enter. If the soul before death was saved by grace, the soul will enter into heaven. But if the soul before death was not saved, then it will enter into hell's punishment. And so you have a soul to be saved. That's why Paul refers to the death for the Christian as a departure from earth to heaven. Because death to the unbeliever is damnation from earth to hell. And Paul said, if his body, this tent, this house, this physical frame were dissolved. And that word dissolved means to loosen down. It means to tear down. It means to take apart. And Paul is referring to his body, all the different parts of his body. If it were dissolved, if it was taken down bit by bit. And again, remember, Paul, the word means tent. So Paul here is comparing really a tent, as a tent you would set up, Comparing that to a physical body. And Paul was a tent maker. And so Paul was giving the point is this. A tent, when he sets up a tent, or maybe you have gone camping with children or grandchildren or different things, what do? You take a tent, you set it up for a period of time, and then when you're finished with it, you take it back down. Because the tent is only there for a certain time. It's not there for all eternity. You don't set the tent up and say, by the way, we'll keep this tent, we'll come back to it next year, and it'll still be there. You, when you're finished with it, you take it down and you put it away. And so Paul is saying, my tent, my body, this physical frame, is not here forever. It's only here for a time. It's temporal. There'll be a time when it will be put away. It's time when it will not be there. But how is the tent taken down? Again, you go back to the tent. You put a tent up, whether it's your back garden or you go out camping somewhere. You know it's there only for a limited time. But when you're taking the tent down, how do you take it down? Well, you take it down bit by bit, depending on what tent, obviously, you use. But you take it down bit by bit. And so that's what Paul is saying. This physical frame, this tent, this tabernacle, this body that the soul dwells in, it is temporal. And through time, it's been dissolved, it's been torn about, it's been taken down bit by bit. Maybe a loss of hair, a loss of teeth. Maybe there's some here that you don't have as much hair as you used to. Maybe there's some who don't have as much teeth as you used to. Maybe there's some who don't even have the same teeth as you used to. I don't know. But all these different things. Maybe it's the body weakening, poor eyesight, hearing loss, aches and pains. There's no doubt that there's things you'd be able to do when you were younger that you just cannot maybe do now. And you would even say, well, do you know what? If I was younger, I could get you in a race and I'd be down the road. But now, just getting there. And why? Because you know the changes in your body. It's being taken bit by bit until the point where it's just time to be put away. It's time for the Lord to say, come home. And so Paul says this, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. And so Paul says, this tent, my body, this physical frame where the soul dwells in, it's only here for a temporal time. It has a purpose to glorify God. And through the years, it's been weakened, it's been worn down, it's been taken bit by bit. And there's a time it's going to be put away. It's not going to be needed anymore. And Paul says, but when that's the time, this temple tent will then be exchanged for a heavenly home, a house which is in heaven. And that phrase in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. That word desiring is the word to crave after, to long after. Paul says, I long for the day when I'll not be in this temple tent anymore, but I'll be in my home in heaven to be with the Lord. He said, verse 8, we are confident and willing and rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. That's how Paul viewed death. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul, his body was weak. He had been through so much, but he was looking for a day, for today of a departure. He was looking for a great exchange, the temporal for the permanent. He looked forward to the day when he would finish his race, when he would hear the Lord saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Why? If I am here on earth, I live Christ. I labor for Christ. I become like Christ day by day. But if it's time for the Lord to take me home, death to me is a gain. Because I leave the temporal and I go to the eternal. I go to be with my Savior. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he finished his course. He run his race with victory. And he left this scene of time. John chapter 12, verse 23. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. John 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart, that's the same word, depart out of this world unto his Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So just as the Savior departed this world, he went to be with his Father. So the child of God, when you depart this world, you go to be with your Father. Christ has finished the race. He endured the cross, despised the shame. He offered himself one sacrifice for sin forever. And having gone within the field as our forerunner, he has opened up that way that we will one day follow him. And because Christ is in heaven, one day his people will be there as well. And so, child of God, you today are as equally assured of heaven as Paul was when he wrote this letter. Paul today is in heaven because his faith rested fully upon Christ. And child of God, you one day will be in heaven because your faith rests in Christ. But maybe there's someone here today and your faith rests on Christ, but as a backup, have good works. Rests on Christ, but as plan B, I have the church. Christ. But if that doesn't work out, I still have something else here at the end. I say, you're lost. Because entrance into heaven is by Christ and Christ alone, fully trusting in him alone. And I asked you today, what else are you trusting in? None but Christ can satisfy. Come to the Savior this day and ask him to save you. Finally and very, very briefly, Paul's desire, not only was it strong, not only was it splendid, but very briefly, Paul's desire was superior. Because he said to be with Christ, which is far better. And that word far better reads in the original Greek, very much far better. And it may not make much sense, I suppose, maybe in English, but the point is, it is to emphasize in the original that being with Christ is superior than being on earth. Being with Christ is far better. It's the best, the greatest. Yea, it's the superior joy and blessing. With all the joys you may have on earth, there's no joy greater than being with Christ in heaven. Far better to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord than our present state, than being absent from the Lord and being present in the body. Paul waits his execution. And as he waits his execution, he redeems the time by preaching Christ, by living for Christ, laboring for Christ, seeking to have his life more and more like Christ, because he counted it a joy that God give him more time to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, to share with sinners the greatest gift ever given and whatever could be received, eternal life. Yet above all, Paul knew that when God calls me home, he would depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Fellowship with Christ would be unhindered, unbroken, and unending. That's why, unsaved one, you must come to Christ now. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And may God write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.